on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Holden, Colorado, LTZ. 3.99% finance rate available for ABN holders. T's and C's apply.
10 minutes past six, the AFL got down to business today. They conducted a breakfast with all 18 coaches and followed it up with meetings with club CEOs and presidents. It happens every year at the breakfast. This super panel that we told you about last week was raised, and as you can imagine, there was no shortage of desire from every corner of the room as to who wanted to be on it. Elsewhere, shockwaves went through GWS when Dylan Scheel went down after a collision with the newly elevated leader, Matt DeBoer. Luckily for Dylan, he is okay. And the biggest hamstring news of 2018 ended up being the slightest, with Geelong superstar Patrick Dangerfield still seen as a relatively good chance of playing in the Cats' blockbuster season opener against the Demons. Speaking of Demons, speaking of the Devil, Patrick Dangerfield joins us on the line. Patty, welcome to Time On.
G'day, Scoot. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I hate asking this, but how is the hamstring?
The hammy's good. It's not as good as I would have liked it to be. It would have been great if the scan hadn't showed anything, but shows there's a little strain there. So while it's not great news, it could have been far, far worse. So still a realistic chance, I think.
Patty, feel free to shut me down here, but I think one of the things that's not often talked about with injuries, and I'm no doctor, but it's a slight low-grade hamstring. Does that matter as much as how it feels to you? Are you going to play based on feel?
Exactly right. And that's how plenty of people ask, well, what grade it is. Is it grade 1, 2 or 3? But really the grading when it comes to hammies is irrelevant. It just depends on how it does feel, as you said. So if the hammy feels great and there's still something there, but there's no awareness at training, then what are you really risking? Whereas if there's nothing on a scan, but you really feel like you've got the symptoms of a hamstring strain, then you've got to treat those symptoms. And that's what we'll be doing.
So there's still some sort of chance that the holy trinity of P. Dangerfield, G. Ablett and J. Selwood are going to start in the opening bounce of the opening game of the season for Geelong.
Well, I don't know about the holy trinity, Scoot, but I think there's definitely a realistic chance that hopefully I can pull on the boots with the team.
All right, let's get on to the rest of footy. The newly crowned AFLPA president, what's your first port of call as president?
Well, we announced it the other day, the AFL Players Injury and Hardship Fund. So that was an exciting initiative, which the PA has been working really hard at. Obviously, players don't last all that long in our game. And unfortunately, due to the rigours of the sport, quite often players finish and physically they're quite inhibited. So what this is going to enable our ex-players to do is to... this will basically help fund some of the costs that footballers have ongoing once their AFL journey finishes.
Paddy, I think the biggest issue in footy at the moment, and particularly from a player's perspective, is free agency, and feel free to disagree with that. But on a larger scale, player movement, you were one of the initial ones to go through it, and that's just a timing thing more than anything. But you've got a former teammate and a good mate of yours in Rory Sloane, who's going through it at the moment. There's other people, Tom Lynch, also at the Adelaide Crows. We've got Tom Lynch at the Gold Coast Suns as well. How do you feel looking on and watching these guys go through what they're going through?
I certainly sympathise with them. It's stressful enough as it is for any AFL player when it's a contract year, but it's almost as if as soon as people hear free agency, whether it's the clubs or the supporters themselves get quite antsy and nervous, and all of a sudden the power that I suppose was once with the club slightly changes towards that of the player. So it was a stressful year for me, no doubt, and I was really... I suppose I knew what I was doing, but I can certainly sympathise with the level of attention that the guys are getting. Take Roy for an example. The season hasn't even started. It's been ridiculous the amount of coverage that it's had. But I suppose that's our game now. The interest is real. People do want to know, and fans want to find out. But unfortunately, as a player, you just want to take your time with these sort of situations.
So just to go back on something that you raised, you knew what you were doing in as far as what you were doing the next year?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Going into the season, you have in your head, oh, I think I'll do this. You chop and change. One week, I'm definitely decided to go. The next week, the love of the footy club grows on you. But I think deep down, you sort of always know what you want to do. That can chop and change. But fundamentally, you've got a bit of an idea with what you want to do. That was just me. That's not to say that's the same for every player that's out of contract.
But the industry's strange like that, Paddy, isn't it? That you know, a lot of the rhetoric is we're not ready. You know, everyone says we're not ready for a player to come out and say that they're going to be playing for another team the next year, like has happened a couple of times in the NRL. But ultimately, it's surely realistic, Paddy, that there are players out there right now who ultimately know that they're going to be playing for another team next year. But that doesn't necessarily mean they can't give their blood, sweat and tears to the club they're currently playing for.
No, I totally agree with you. I think it all comes down to the maturity of the football club that you're involved with. So for me, I told Adelaide and the head of footy at the time, David Noble, who's now at Brisbane, that I was going to be, that I wanted to head home at the end of the year. Now, he's a mature guy. He's outstanding in his own industry and one of the most highly respected people in the industry. But there's plenty of examples of other football clubs where players have been honest with their organisation, and it's been made really difficult for them. And it's always interesting to hear from a senior coach what they would do. And it's interesting listening to comments from Ruzy during last year, and I think even the year before, when they asked him, would you play the player? And he said no. So really, there's not a real there's no real benefit for the player telling the club, especially if they're unsure on how it's going to be accepted.
So like the Lockie Henderson situation when he left Carlton?
Yeah, it's a pretty good example. In the end, Lockie had to use the AFLPA as a tool, I suppose, of updating people where he's at. So every situation is different and every football club handles it differently, but I think that's a good example where it perhaps could have been handled better.
Would you sit down and talk with Rory over his situation, given how similar they potentially are?
No, he's man enough to... Actually, that's probably incorrect nowadays, but he's understanding of the situation he's in. I'm obviously a good mate of his, but he'll make that decision in due time. I know when it comes to his contract situation previously, he's never signed anything before halfway through the year. And really, as a player, when you've got the... when you are wanted as a player, why would you need to sign earlier than really you need to? There's no real benefit to it.
Because it's poor business.
Well, whether it's poor business or not, you've just got to weigh up the benefits either or. And if the footy club's happy with where it's at, then there's, it might frustrate some members, but you've also got to worry about your own career, and it is, at the end of the day, your own life. And as much as it is a passion for a lot of our supporters, and that's, that's wonderful for the game, as a player, this determines where you live. It determines for the next however long you sign for, where your partner lives. There's so many contributing factors towards it.
18 minutes past six, we're joined by Geelong superstar and Brownlow medalist Paddy Dangerfield. Paddy, a lot of the issues we've been talking about all will come under the umbrella of this new super panel run by someone that you know very well in Steve Hocking. Has he picked up the phone and asked you to be part of it?
No, I haven't had any phone calls from the great man Hock, but
would you be part of it?
I'm not sure whether I'd be wanted given my position at the PA, Sammy.
Oh, surely the AFL would want a representative of the Players Association. You're not alluding to some sort of conspiracy there, Paddy.
No, not at all. I think certainly since Hock's taken office, one of the things that I see as being really important, and I know Hock does as well, is that where possible, we want to be aligned with the AFL. We want the AFL to be aligned with the AFLPA and work together through issues rather than, I think, at different stages. And it's sort of acceptable given the CBA, but we've been at loggerheads and we'd prefer to work through issues and topics together and get to a resolution quicker than we have perhaps in the past.
If you're not the most talked about player at Geelong, it's 1G Ablett. Is there anything that surprised you about him since he's arrived at Geelong?
Not particularly. I expected him to dominate training and to do incredible things that you just marvel at. He continues to do those things. One of the things that it hasn't surprised me, but it's been great to see, is everyone gravitates towards, I think, gravitate towards older players or younger, and Gaz always seems to gravitate towards the younger players, and to see those guys learning from him, and he's such a wonderful teacher, is something that I think our younger players are pretty damn lucky to have, when you've got one of the all-time greats teaching you the ways and wheres of the game.
Have you learned anything from him, Paddy, so far?
Yeah, I tried to train in runners one session, Sonny, but that didn't go down too well. His ability to keep low through every contest. He trains the majority of the pre-season in runners, which for anyone that's ever tried to train against other players in footy boots, manila wearing runners, is a very difficult thing to do. You end up on your backside half the time. But Gaz just has this innate ability to be able to do it, and perhaps that's been a reason why he's been so good, because he's just trained himself to have a really good centre of gravity around the contest.
And what you've seen so far, you expect him to be fit for round one?
Yeah, he's looked really, really good at training. He really only missed maybe one or two sessions at the most, and then he was back out there with the guys. So I expect that he'll be fit and ready to go.
21 minutes past six, we are joined by Geelong superstar Paddy Dangerfield. Paddy, before we let you go, we're going to try something new here in time. We're going to do some word association. I'm just going to give you a couple of words or maybe a phrase, and you say the first word that comes to your mind.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Gillon McLachlan.
People. The people CEO.
Free agency.
Good for footy.
Adelaide.
Plus club.
Rory Sloan.
Champion.
Grand final time.
Night time.
Okay. Matthew Cruiser.
Underrated.
Thought you might say difficult to tackle. Dustin Martin.
Easy to tackle. Unfortunately, you get reported. impossible to tackle.
Media access.
I thought you might ask this. About right.
Instagram.
Overused and underrated.
But it's been great to chat. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you one thing just about media access, and I know we could talk about this and really for hours, but holistically, where do you sit on it? Because you are very giving in the media, more giving than some players are, and that's just the way the industry is at the moment. I think something that gets lost in this conversation is that it really wasn't built into a lot of the CBA, and should fans just remember that a lot of it comes down to the culture of the club that you're at?
I think you're right. It does come down to the culture of the club that you're at, and how easily that club has access to front or back page. When I played in Adelaide, if they wanted the back page, all they had to do was say something. You could say boo and it was front page of the paper the next day. In Melbourne, there's obviously it's far more competitive for the back page, and every club, no matter whether you're Collingwood or you're a club that's struggled to secure a sponsorship, you want the back page because you want to be promoting your own brand, but also the sponsors that are associated with your brand. So you really want that. Now, in terms of the CBA, it was never negotiated that there'd be more access to players. It was basically right along with how it is now. So there's been plenty of commentary over the last sort of week around the media wanting more access to players, but it was something that was never really pushed that hard for at all from the AFL. So we're doing what we've agreed to basically as players. So when does that media access get greater? When does it get greater? I suppose really it's either up to the club or it's up to the players. I think players now have a platform that is social media to really promote and to use their own brand in a really positive way. And the influence that you can have with social media is far-reaching. So I think players are starting to understand that they can really leverage this, whether it be commercially or just to keep their followership engaged with what they're doing. So it's up to the individual. It's easy when you're playing well. It's difficult when things are tough. One thing that'll always happen, you'll always have the haters. But one of the things I say to our younger players, the haters that you get are the most loyal followers you ever have, because they'll watch and comment on anything you ever do because they're trying to pick something wrong with it, but it means they're watching at least.
As I said, we could talk about this for hours. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. Paddy, it's been great to chat. Look forward to speaking throughout the year, and whether you play in round one or not, good luck for season 2018.
Thanks, Sammy. Thanks for having me on Time On.
Patrick Dangerfield there, Geelong superstar and formerly of the Adelaide Crows, and that's really what I'd like to revisit when we come back from the break, is that what he said about knowing that he was leaving and, you know, the position that people like Rory Sloane and Tom Lynch of the Gold Coast Suns are in. Why would they come out and tell clubs? Adelaide said they want to know. Why would Rory Sloane tell them, given the past performances of previous clubs? It's a really interesting topic for mine. By the way, the Cats are back on track to reach 60,000 members. What a result that would be for the Cats, but still need new members to stand proud with them to reach their target. Reserve seats are still available to watch the 9 home games at GM HBA Stadium, plus plenty of general admission membership options. Call the Cats Membership Services on 1300 462 287 to get your membership today. That's 1300 462 287.